This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stall save at the far post. Here's a chance out front. Scores! Great pass to J.J. Paterka from Dylan Cousins. There it is. The Sabres cut the lead in half. It's 2-1 Anaheim. Dylan Cousins wins it off the wall. Plays it back. Tuck takes it away from Cousins. Tuck! Oh! Did he score? Yes, he did! Far circle. Quinn gets it back again. Shot's not there. Joki Haru scored from here in the tournament. Scores! He did it again!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
So, hey, good morning. Happy Wednesday. There's an audible on what we were going to start the show with today. You didn't know what I was ready to roll out until two things happened yesterday. I was going to roll out an instant trivia that was the six Bills players whose cap hits are higher than the entire wide receiver room. That's what it was going to be until Shakir got his deal.
Right.
So that's not the case anymore. But that was a fun one.
Yeah.
Shakir gets an extension. And the Sabres, of course, you know, they're streaking. Here we go. Operation 10 straight, very much alive.
Or 2 through 10.
Two. It is funny to point out that they had to win 5 out of 6 before this little streak in order to even get to this spot. But
yes, they did.
Here are your updated Operation 10 straight projections through 64 games.
Okay.
So that's if the Sabres win 8 more in a row. Where would they be in the standings? This is how to get back in the playoff race. This is the best, easiest, shortest way, just so you know, win all your games. They would have, if they won 8 more in a row, Joe, they would have 69 points and be in 10th. It'd still be in 10th.
Okay.
But Ottawa 70, Columbus 70, Detroit 72. And that would be with 18 games to play.
Okay.
So, not too bad.
Go get it. Let's go get it.
Yes.
They also are closing in on Pittsburgh. They are 2 points back of the Penguins, and they have a lot of games in hand on Pittsburgh.
They do. They have a lot of games in hand on a lot of teams. I said to Josh before the show, if they were to win their next three, they might jump 4 teams.
Okay.
Because
they would jump Pittsburgh, they would jump
Islanders,
Philly, right?
Yep. They're 3 back of the whatever. I mean, the standings are kind of silly, but they would get above the schmozzle that is Montreal, Philly, Islanders, Penguins.
Listen,
with a couple of wins.
Just pass anybody at this point, because the last time they were not in last place in the Eastern Conference.
Was it Christmas?
Was 72 days ago, December 16th.
Okay, before Christmas.
Before Christmas, yeah. 9 days before Christmas. 72 days since they've been out of last place in the conference.
Yeah.
And they are they're going to get out of last place.
They're going to get out of last place. They're not going to finish in last, right?
No. No. I think the Penguins are a worse team than they are. I think Philly's a worse team than they are.
Goal differential, we talked about with Paul 2 days ago, maybe.
Yeah.
The Sabres on the season are a -7. They are a couple points behind Pittsburgh, who is a -49.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to happen. Anyway, we're going to do our best to have some fun with this 10 straight race. I almost called it a playoff race. Whatever.
It wasn't looking good last night.
No, it was not.
I mean, I looked. I thought about it. I thought about betting them when they were down 2-0, and I didn't do it. But they, I mean, were any, they, I thought they were playing fine, but yeah. There were no good vibes really going into that third period. Like everything was kind of sloppy and another one. Special teams really was the thing that
was
killing them, right?
The 5-on-5 numbers, the Sabres dominated that game unlike almost any other this season.
Right, right. That's, I guess, what made it frustrating is it felt like they're playing well and they're down 2-0. Kind of two softer penalties at the beginning of the game for a 5-on-3 that gets the Ducks a goal.
Yep.
But, right, they both the Anaheim goals, I think, were on special teams. Were they not? Yeah, both were power play goals.
Yep.
So 5-on-5, they won 3-0. But that's kind of been a theme all year. They've been a good 5-on-5 team. They're like top 10 in the league in 5-on-5 this season. It's been more power play and special teams, but yeah.
Well, good morning, everyone. Jeremy and Joe. Sal at 8 from the Combine. Paul at 7. And at 9, we have Craig Hoffman, who covers the Washington Commanders, to talk a little bit about two things in Washington. One, Jonathan Allen, Pro Bowl defensive lineman, who may be a cap casualty, may be available for a trade. It would be a very cheap trade because you're taking on cap.
Yep.
And also their pursuit of Myles Garrett. So that's 9 o'clock. Craig Hoffman on the Commanders. How serious are they? Excuse me, as a contender for Myles Garrett. So that's the schedule of guests on the morning. And in the meantime, we can talk to you about anything. The Khalil Shakir contract extension, of course, is probably the biggest news of the day outside of the Sabres' inevitable run to 10 consecutive wins. I'm dreaming big. What else you got to do, you know?
That's all we can do at this point. I'm putting it more in the frame of before the trade deadline. You know, give me the there's 5 games left now before the trade deadline. Give me those 5 wins. Give me there, and I'm not saying they will be buyers at the deadline if they are to do that, but maybe that kind of swings the pendulum a little bit on selling a little bit one way or the other.
I don't think
maybe.
So.
Maybe. I saw, it might have just been speculation. Was it Dave Pagnotta, 4th period, who was talking about the Sabres getting a first for Jason Zucker?
Ugh.
Like, there's been deadline trades in recent years where teams are, like, they're trading. Because teams like Tampa now have recognized late first-round picks aren't really that valuable. So they've started trading late first-round picks for guys at the deadline.
Yep.
And I saw them, like, I've not seen that anywhere else. I don't know how realistic that is. But I thought, like, okay, if he isn't signing and that call comes in, is that going
to
sway them to just say yes?
It's a great question. I was about to say, you know, if he's not signing, that's different. But they traded a second-round pick for Beck Malenstein because they need to trade assets to get players, to get the rights to players.
And that was an early second? Like, isn't that the difference of, like, 10 picks?
If he's worth a second, I think that Zucker's worth a first to them.
Right, right.
And
just
do the math. So thanks, but no thanks. If you can get the deal done, we don't want the first. The one thing about the Sabre season looking forward from here, so Dahlin and Byram together, that is looking to be really dynamic and really amazing. Is Byram going to sign long-term? I don't know.
Right.
But you've got – what you really have with the Sabres is I'm starting to line up the dominoes for a Dylan Cousins trade. I don't know that it'll happen at the deadline, but it's got to happen, and here's why. I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be him.
He had 3 assists last night, by the way.
He did. Yeah. It's got to be somebody. Because right now what the Sabres have is a team that obviously underachieved all year, and we're going to have a little fun hoping they can win 10 in a row. But you have so many pieces locked in that the idea of signing Byram, Zucker, and Greenway, sign them all.
And McLeod. He's an RFA. Yeah.
I again have a full team with no one to sign. No space to have anybody on my roster. So with that in mind, I feel like somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to get traded, whether that's Power.
Samuelson.
Somebody.
Yeah.
You just can't have a completely locked-in team that finishes in 15th place and have everybody under contract with not a lot of players where you'd say, well, it's okay because these guys are going to grow. I know they're still young. So if they bring back these 3 guys that they probably want to bring back, Byram, Zucker, and Greenway, then somebody under contract has got to go, and I believe that they will. At the deadline, probably not. Who's making the Cousins trade at the deadline? Are you giving Detroit that player to help them get better? I mean, that's...
Well, isn't the point of a Cousins trade to make a hockey trade? To get a player back of equal value or close to it? Or isn't it also to use him and something else to go get an even better player? Like, that's where he is kind of tough to see being moved at the deadline is...
Not impossible.
You did get one last year, right? Middlestat for Byram.
Yep.
But also, like, that's a positional swap. Like, that is a very unique circumstance where Colorado needs a center. Like, it's more about the position than it is about the player. It's, okay, we need a center, and we've got two really good defensemen already with Byram. So, all right, we're deep at D, and we're thin at center. All right, you want to make a center for defenseman swap? All right, cool. It felt like it was more about the position for the other team that you were dealing with. What is that trade now? You want to find that team again? You want to find a team that is thin at center and is going to need...
No, because you're...
And they're going to have a plethora of defensemen?
The problem is you're thin at center.
Right, you're thin at center, and you kind of have the defensemen already.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go center for wing? Like, how are you getting someone else to make a hockey trade that looks similar to what you made with Colorado?
And how are you doing it without the knowledge of who you're going to be able to sign? Sucker, Greenway,
McLeod,
Byram.
Well, McLeod, they'll sign it.
Can you sign Byram? If you can't, then you got to plan accordingly. And he has to get traded.
Man, that shift before Paterka scored the first one, no, when Tuck scored the second one, there was like a 2-minute shift where the Sabres had the puck the whole time. I couldn't believe they couldn't score. And it was just Dahlin and Byram just working the whole zone. Like, those two were just like a tornado all around the ice, like looping around the Ducks. I tweeted this out last night. I don't think I've ever seen, right? Like, I don't think the bar is super high for this necessarily. I don't think I've ever seen a defense pair that's as fun to watch as those two, as dynamic offensively as those two.
Yep.
Right? Because two guys that are that good offensively is not something they've had much of in their entire careers. I thought of Campbell and Spacek maybe played together for like a season, but that might be the closest you got.
Other great pairings that were fun to watch.
Someone mentioned Myers and Talinder in Myers' rookie year.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Tyler Myers' rookie year was...
Yeah, and Talinder was amazing that year, too, I think.
Yeah, yeah. How about Cody Franzen? And,
okay,
no, sorry,
enough. Absolutely enough.
803-0550 is our number. Lots to get to on Khalil Shakir, NFL stuff, Brandon Bean from the Combine talking about their need for speed and many, many other things. And the big five we'd been talking about, Shakir, Bernard, Benford, Rousseau, and who am I forgetting? Cook. First domino falls. It's Shakir. We can talk about his contract, what it means, next dominoes. So we've got lots to get to. Busy Wednesday for you here. Give us a ring, 803-0550. And on the Sabres, we are going to squeeze content out of these Sabres in this final stretch. You better believe it. And you're coming with us.
Well, they're going to have to win. Keep winning.
You're coming with us. Paul in Buffalo. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Jeremy, first of all, don't sell yourself short. We are not squeezing content. What did you say at the beginning of the year? This team has streaks in them.
That's right. That's right.
And my first call of the year about the Sabres was after Dahlin took a non-contact injury in training camp. And I said, we're going to rue the day this injury happened. And whomever sent him to Europe might have screwed our entire season. But, glass half full right now, because we are in the midst of an historic comeback. What we are seeing right now is what we saw two seasons ago, a 100% healthy Rasmus Dahlin and a 100% healthy Tage Thompson, and they absolutely dominate games. Tage is doing his Mario Lemieux impersonation again. He is toe-dragging people in ways you don't think a big man can. Dahlin is shooting and hitting now, along with doing his amazing rushes that he's always done, along with controlling the game. He's ringing pipes now. He could have had a couple last night. Byram is looking good, and this is my pitch to Bowen Byram. You may never get the notoriety as the best defenseman on this team, but look at the minutes you play. Those are number one defenseman minutes. Whether or not you're quarterbacking a power play, you're playing 24 minutes a night. You're going to get paid if you want to stay here, and being on a top pair with Rasmus Dahlin is nothing to feel slighted about in any way. You've surpassed Owen Power on this team, and he was a number one overall pick. So if it's your ego you're worried about, son, don't worry about it, because you're going to get all the notoriety you need. You keep playing the way you are with Dahlin. There's no reason we can't make this run. We got to get eight more in a row. we will be at NHL 500 then, and that arena will be packed every night. Guys, we got to talk it into belief.
That's right.
Power of positive thinking.
Thanks, Paul.
Have a great show.
You know,
also,
I,
thank you for putting it as NHL 500, because it's,
that's right.
It's not like real 500.
Two things.
Yeah.
No love for the new sniper on the blue line, Henry Jokiharju. Come on. I mean, the guy
That's his
is...
spot. He's like the corner three. Jokiharju is the king of the corner three, apparently. I was listening with the sound down at that moment, so I tweeted out after, like, hey, that's where he scored in the Four Nations, not knowing Dan Dunleavy literally called it right before the goal.
Yep.
Like, oh, he scored from there in the Four Nations. Bang, goal again. Corner threes.
Henry Jokiharju.
We found a spot. Just sit him over there the whole time.
In his office. There he is.
His office.
Joker in his office there for the goal.
Has anyone's office in hockey ever not been the front of the net?
Jochen Hesch behind the net.
Okay. Good answer.
And
I was about to say, like, I don't think anyone ever has
Ovechkin's
had
is the circle.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Is Tage's the circle, too? Who else has an office?
I mean, on the power
Alexei
play,
Zhitnik,
I would say
is
that.
Two steps inside the blue line and missing the net.
Someone said Zhitnik and Kalinin was the most fun to watch.
All right.
Saber
pair. All right.
Ever.
We're feeling ourselves today.
Byram, by the way, like maybe that sales pitch works. He also, where is he now? I think after Ladd, did he have another assist last night? I thought I saw even strength points. He's even higher than he was before. He is somewhere. He was in the top 10. But anyways, I don't know that sales pitch holds any water if he just wants to win, you know? Like, the guy's won the cup. Does he know what it takes? Does he not care as much about, oh, yeah, I am playing. He's playing 23 minutes a night. That is two more minutes, three more minutes even, than he ever played in Colorado. Two more minutes than he ever played in Colorado per night. Is that all that matters to him? Like, I'm just going to get to ride and play with Rasmus Dahlin for the length of this contract? Or do I want to go to a team, like, out west that's, you know, great?
Sure, right. It's tough. He's an RFA, and they've been through this before, and it's kind of like having a player with a no-trade clause. This player has the power to say,
a little bit,
no thanks.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do to make him stay?
And he does have, we went through this like a week ago, he's got some numbers when he's not playing with Dahlin that are pretty scary. But I also want to value what he is when he's playing with Dahlin. Like, he moves around the ice. He gets scoring opportunities himself. He jumps up in the play. So if he's going to play with Dahlin, I see a lot of value in him.
Yeah,
but I also wouldn't want to overrate it and say he's worth $9 million because he's, you know, ninth in the league in even strength points.
Well, perfect partners matter. And getting a player that's perfect for your best. This is a little bit about, if I can make an odd comparison, but I'll go for it. Why did Derrick Henry have his best season with Lamar? Because they bring out the best in each other, and they're individually good on their own merit, but pairing them together. If I had a defenseman that was otherwise bad, but was the perfect partner for Rasmus Dahlin, let's just play the game.
Yeah.
And anywhere else, he's terrible. But with Dahlin, they're both incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That is worth paying for.
Mm-hmm.
Because my investment is, what is my net gain out of all of it? If all of a sudden I have the best defensive pairing in hockey, and if I break them up, I don't have any of them, well, whatever. I've got something. So I don't know what they'll do about Byram. I don't know how they'll commit to paying him. The salary cap, of course, is going way up, and they've got money committed. It really comes down to, for me, this was the Pettersson idea. Like, you want Pettersson, you better find out some contracts they're going to send out, because if you want $11 million coming in, bye-bye to Samuelson and Cousins, because that's a push on the money.
Yeah, that's why the Byram and Cousins for Pettersson idea sounded like it just made sense.
Right.
We're sending two contracts out.
803-0550. Is it going to happen? Well, I guess we'll find out. Up next is Carolina. Okay. That's a little bit of a...
That's the one.
That's a little landmine in your yeah. Winning 10 straight. They just won last night. They shut out Montreal. It was 4-0 last I saw. And then you're into Montreal and San Jose, and the teams you can beat again. So, you know.
No, they lost to Montreal.
They did?
4-0, yeah.
Oh, my NHL app was backwards, I guess. They're going to be mad. Oh, all right. Wait, are they a mad?
Yeah, they lost 4-0.
Are they a mad Carolina team, or are they a wounded Carolina team?
I don't know
that
helps me. They lost to Toronto before that too.
They lost five of their last six.
Oh, they're ripe for the picking.
I don't know. They're still a pretty good team. I'd be a little worried about that. They've got their own drama. They just traded for Mikko Rantanen, and he's like already like, I'm just not signing there.
Yeah, yeah, that's an odd scenario. I keep seeing like the Rantanen problem. Like, wait a minute, he just got there.
I guess he just is telling everyone like, you traded for me. I don't care. I'm still hitting free agency.
Yeah,
like I was gonna hit free agency. I told Colorado I was gonna hit free agency. You traded for me. I'm gonna tell you the same thing. I'm hitting free agency. That I think that's all that really is happening with him. But they have been losing.
803-0550. 1-888-550-2550 on the Sabres if you want it. Also on the Bills, we've got news on the Bills because Khalil Shakir gets a contract extension, a four-year extension to stay on as the Bills' primary target. Who knows if he'll be the primary target for all 4 years, but he was last year for them. Good player, I want to say, universally appreciated, right?
Yes.
Everybody likes Shakir.
Yes. He does. He's consistent. He doesn't really make mistakes. He does a little bit of everything, but he's definitely their best guy when it comes to like screens and the short passing game. Yeah, he's a really good slot receiver that there's really not much. I don't know where the debate in his game would even really come. Like,
yeah.
Is anyone out there still thinking like, oh, he could turn into like a great outside receiver?
Absolutely not.
That was proposed as like a thought a couple of years ago, and I think we're long past that to know what he is. At this point, and there's no debate really about the money, is there?
No.
Like, he's the 23rd highest paid receiver in football, but what is he going to be by the end of the offseason?
I know. In 2 years, he'll be 39th. He'll be 50th.
Right.
And
actually, if you look at the contracts around him, like, there aren't a lot of three, four-year deal guys that are below him. There are a few, like Gabe Davis is one of them.
Yep.
But you count like league inflation, he basically kind of got the Gabe Davis contract.
That's exactly what I thought, is he got the Gabe Davis deal. And
I think he's a better receiver than Gabe Davis is.
He's a different receiver.
Yes.
You know what I was thinking about with receivers, you know, as someone who, again, comes in here and blows the horn for the wide receiver train every day, we should almost treat them like linebackers. There are receivers and then there are receivers. Khalil Shakir does not have the same job as Ja'Marr Chase. He's not the same guy. In the way that Micah Parsons doesn't have the same job as Matt Milano, right? Like, you just don't have pass-rushing edge linebackers that harass the quarterback versus linebackers that drop into coverage like Terrell Bernard. It's a different job. And Shakir getting 4 years, about 15 the average,
yeah,
that's a slot receiver. When T. Higgins signs in a month for 29, that's different. He plays a different position, even though they're all listed as receivers. I was also looking up Shakir's, you know, his catches, and this kind of, if I could make a point here to compare it to Dahlin and Byram for a half second, what you have with Shakir is a player that, in the right scenario, flourishes. His average depth of target.
Oh, I mean, there was a time during the year where it was like miles below any other receiver.
Yes, he is way near the bottom where they throw him the ball. His yards before reception, you know, yards after catch. How about yards before catch? He catches the ball like running backs do, often. Mm. Running backs and tight ends. He is a short yardage, short area guy that they like his yards after catch skills, but they also build that into his game. He gets the opportunity to run that little orbit motion, catch the ball on the run against flat-footed players. He is, Shakir owes a lot to Josh Allen, but he might owe more to Joe Brady because Shakir really didn't pop as a full-time thing until Joe Brady got the job. And then it became, oh, look at how they're using this player. Mm-hmm. Look at how consistent he is. So Brady gets Shakir to show us what he can do. And I don't know that I ever need him to be more than he has been.
Yeah. Like, how much do you think he'll ever have a season with much more than he had this past year?
I would
76 for 821 and 4. Like, how much higher would we ever expect him to go?
I think he could get to 1,100 yards in a pass heavy offense. I
mean, that's a pretty big jump.
It is a big jump, but targets could go up. Everybody eats could be pushed to the side because, well, now we got a $15 million receiver out there. We got a first round tight end out there. And I think
he would need to continue to not really have a lot of competition, though, wouldn't he?
And like, I think let's get stupid because of the Shakir contract. Let's trade Dalton Kincaid. Why are we competing over the middle of the field for these targets? They drafted Kincaid and then found out Shakir is fine over the middle. In fact, he's really good over the middle and should be our over the middle guy.
All right.
Why do I need Kincaid? Really, why do I need him? Who wants to trade for a Bills young player? You want to trade for Dalton Kincaid? I don't think they will, but
it would be a buy low for another team.
A lot of our conversations about them is, well, 12 personnel, who comes off the field? Shakir? I don't want to do that.
Right.
Interesting. Good stuff, though. 803-0550 on the Sabres, on Shakir, on Combine Buzz. Brandon Bean spoke yesterday about the Shakir news. And we could talk about where he fits in and all that.
There was a T. Higgins tweet as well.
Oh, I saw. It wasn't cryptic.
This is not a cryptic emoji.
He used young people vocabulary to call someone a liar.
Yes.
All right.
Capping.
I knew it.
You got it.
So proud of myself.
You
see someone tweet a hat, that means that they're saying that person is lying.
Did you have to look it up?
No, I have known that for a little while. Right. Yeah. Because I learned it because no cap means I'm telling the truth.
Right.
Yes. So there you go.
That's right.
See, look at this. You guys think I'm old. I'm not old. I'm showing off my chops here. You can give us a ring. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.